You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average.
They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount.
See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you. Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, August 14th. And for so many of you out there, it is back to school. So we hope it is a happy, healthy, safe, wonderful school year, whether you are teacher, student, parent, or just cheering them on from the sidelines. It takes a village. It takes all of us. So thanks to everybody involved. Now, what we have collected for you all this week is some of the freakiest tales from Friday's past. I chose these stories. Some of them stuck with me, and they just popped into my head. Other ones I thought of as I was reading other stories on this list. So it is much appreciated to everybody who has sent in your stories over the last 226 of these episodes. We could not do this without you, so we truly thank you. If you have an odd but true tale, please send it in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. And we will be back with you next week with part two in our coverage of the Nolan Wells case. Also, if you want to join us this Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Central, we have Sunday Scaries. That's our live stream over on Patreon. It's totally free. You just enter your email. It's as much effort as signing up for an email list where you get something in exchange. In this case, you get to join us live as we chat with you during Sunday Scaries. We're doing it a little different now. So in the past, we would watch videos the whole time, or we intended to, but we would end up yapping up front. Now, intentionally, we have chosen to yap before the video. So we save time at the end to watch videos. So we still do have, we feature the videos that you send in to us. So go over to sinisterhood.com/scaries and send those videos in. But most of the time now, we're just chatting about whatever, whether it's movies we've seen or things in the news, pop culture items, conspiracy theories we've seen, cases, whatever. We'd love to, we actually let you all lead, just ask you in the chat. So in our feed, we dropped the audio from last week's Sunday Scaries, so you can check that out. Or if you want to watch the actual footage, watch what we're watching, you can do so for free on Patreon. And while you're there, check out our latest Judge Christie. She has, her honor has put a case up for appeal, and she's to whom it is appealed, but we are looking for your input. So please head over to the comment section and let us know. You, the jury members, always have input. So she's a benevolent ruler. So as we say, please chime in the chat. You all are what makes Patreon the most fun. We also have a recent True Crime Headlines with a pretty crazy case involving eBay, an update in the Jared Leto case that we covered previously, as well as an update in the Idaho 4 murders, and talk about Brian Koberger trying to rescind his guilty plea. It's pretty outrageous. So check that out over on Patreon, and we'll be back with you next week. In the meantime, we hope you have a wonderful, happy, safe, healthy Friday, and keep it creepy.
This next one is from Lindsay, and it is called I Can't Get Rid of Treadmill Man. Hi, ladies. I love you both so much. I'm an OG listener and want to thank you so much for all that you do, including getting me through some seriously tough times. I've been thinking about submitting this since you began doing Freaky Fridays, but for some reason, I didn't think it was truly as frightening as it is. It happened a long time ago, but now I realize that there will be some validation and perhaps some relief in telling this story because it's not one I tell often, if ever. It was the summer of 2010, and I had opted to live in my college town now that I had a truly beautiful apartment in lieu of coming home for the summer. I had two jobs. In the morning, I would lifeguard, and in the evening, I was a server at a restaurant in the college town. That summer, I was living with my then boyfriend, and I pretty much had my routine down to a science. In the mornings, I would get up at around 5 and lifeguard from 6 to noon. Then I would go to the beautiful, brand new, gigantic gym that they had just finished building on campus. It was huge, gorgeous, and packed with every machine and piece of workout equipment you could think of. I was in heaven. I went to a huge university, and I absolutely loved it there. I would work out for about 2 hours, starting out on the treadmill first, where I would run 3 miles, all while gazing out onto the beautifully manicured campus soccer fields and the mountains beyond. Then I would hop on the elliptical and do a program. Back then, we still used those, lol. Use the rowing machine and weights, and finally walk on the treadmill to cool down and stretch. Then I would occasionally hit the pool at my sister's apartment complex and go home to chill out and get ready to serve at night. I did this every single Monday through Friday without fail. My boyfriend worked on campus in the library 9 to 5 every day, so we would rarely run into one another unless I visited him after the gym. One day, at the very end of my workout, I was on the treadmill cooling down, and a super disheveled, long-haired, fully clothed, extremely heavy-set man. We're talking heavy work jeans, a sloppy stained button-down, Timberland work boots, and trucker hat, got on the treadmill next to me. This is important because it was the middle of the summer on a college campus of 35,000 students, almost none of whom stuck around for the summer, and the gym was almost always empty during the time I would be there. He started to run on the treadmill in the weirdest way, with his hair down, hat on, turning the speed up high and holding onto the sides while he ran awkwardly in his fucked up Tims. I noticed that he kept glancing over at me, and I was immediately spooked. So I got off the treadmill and went to the furthest part of the available stretching area, where he could no longer see me. About 10 minutes later, I was ready to leave, and unfortunately, I had to walk to the treadmills again to grab my shit from my locker. And there he was, still running awkwardly on the treadmill in what some might consider bizarro construction gear. I could see him watching me, again, and grabbed my shit from my locker and booked it to my car. As I left, I did not check to see if he was slowing down. I chalked it up to him just being some weird guy and followed my normal schedule. I arrived at the pool at my apartment's sister complex, put my stuff down, and dove in right away because it was super hot. I spent about 5 minutes in the pool and then sat on a lounge chair and opened up Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. Not a minute later, I looked up and there's Treadmill Man entering the pool gates. This was 2010 in rural Massachusetts, so you didn't need to show ID or scan any sort of ID to get into this type of pool. Plus, it was part of a private apartment complex. Immediately, my heart was in my throat as I watched this dude beeline toward me and put his stuff on the chair right beside mine. This was not a small pool, and there were a few people scattered around it, but no one was paying much attention to what was going on. Not to mention, the lounge chair next to mine was broken, in that a bunch of the plastic bands had snapped or were stretched and sagging. But he chose it anyway. I watched in abject horror as he took off his Tims and socks and then jumped into the pool, fully fucking clothed. I took this as an immediate cue to get the fuck out of there. Why would this same man be running on a treadmill fully clothed next to me in the dead heat of July? And now, jumping into a pool fully clothed, sitting on a broken lounge chair directly next to me when there was an entire deck filled with chairs to be chosen from? Absolutely not. I was shaking and started getting dressed and fumbling with my things, putting my stuff into my bag, and simultaneously trying to call my boyfriend. Unfortunately, this gave him enough time to notice what I was doing, and since I was walking with my head down toward the gate, dialing my boyfriend's number over and over again, straight to voicemail. This particular boyfriend was still using a flip phone in 2010. The man opened the gate for me, sopping wet, as in he was on his way out too. I got in my car and locked the doors. Sweat dripped down my face and pooled in my lap, along with tears. My heart was in my throat and my stomach was in my asshole. My first thought was, see if he pulls out first. Because in my head, I had convinced myself that I was overreacting and that he had perhaps decided to go to the gym and the pool in jeans and a button-down and work boots on a 90-degree day and just happened to be in the same places as me. Does he go to school with me? He didn't look the typical age. No, he was definitely older than the average student. Maybe he lived in the complex. Millions of thoughts were flying through my mind as I dialed my boyfriend's line over and over again. This was before we all had iPhones, so I did not know the number to the library by heart. It suddenly occurred to me that I was very small, and he was very big. I mean, this dude was huge, and that any more time I spent sitting in my car gave him more time to memorize my car and my plates, which he had obviously already done. Plan out more weird or bad things to do, whatever, I didn't know. And sure as shit, as soon as I backed out of my parking space, a rickety-looking teal-colored car pulled out and got in line behind me to exit the parking lot onto the main stretch of road. I knew this area fairly well, as my boyfriend and I liked to cycle around back roads, and my college was part of a 5-college consortium, so there was a small chance I could lose him if I was quick enough. I used no signals and pulled out onto the road at a time where another car would be put between us. I started doing around 80 miles per hour, swerving around back roads on my way to campus, just trying to get to the library, still dialing my boyfriend's number. I called my mom. She didn't pick up either. I was losing my mind. What's insane to me now is that at no point during that time did I find it valid enough for me to call 911. I thought that if I could just make it to campus, I could possibly go to the police there once I had secured my boyfriend, was no longer alone, and felt safe. I've forgotten to mention here that it was not typical to stay the summer break and that all of my friends had gone home for the summer, so I had no one else to call. I either managed to lose him or he noticed that I was driving directly into the busiest part of campus, exiting the car and starting to make a scene of myself until my boyfriend came running. By that time, I had finally gotten my boyfriend on the phone. He, of course, minimized the situation, typical, and he had agreed to meet me at this specific spot on campus. Together, we called and made a report to the campus police, and they urged me to call them if I ever found myself in the man's company again. I was so shaken up, I sat in the lobby of the library for hours, staring into space until my boyfriend got off of work. I called out of my shift for that night and stayed away from the gym for the next 2 weeks. I eventually returned to the gym, but I never returned to the pool, and I told both my boyfriend and my mom to always have their phones on them and on ring from the hours of noon to 2 p.m. I threw Siddhartha away without finishing it. It was wrinkled from being shoved into my bag with my wet towel, and I couldn't even bring myself to look at it. I'm 33, and I've never been harassed, stalked, or felt that threatened by someone, and I live in New York. So that's the tale of the treadmill man. I call him this for obvious reasons, but also because when my boyfriend finally answered the phone, I screamed, "I think there's someone following me! I can't get rid of this treadmill man!" Thank you so much for reading. Even if this doesn't make it onto the pod, just knowing that you read these stories is so cathartic. I listen every week, and hearing stories from women who have been in situations far more dangerous than mine make me feel not so alone. Stay safe, stay creepy, and if somebody gets on a treadmill near you wearing Tim's, exit the gym immediately and take the wrong way home.
Oh, Lindsay. Lindsay.
Yikes on bikes.
I am so sorry that you have been, first of all, instantaneously minimized by your boyfriend telling you, and then you minimized it yourself, like, throughout these years, because I'm so pissed off for you. Like, I'm so mad that you can't enjoy your gym jumping into the pool after a hot day of working out is so fucking rewarding. And that this slob and his fucking dirty ass button down ruined it for you with his creepiness. And when you said, I like marked it as I was listening, but when you were like, I'm sitting in my car after the pool. So we've established he already creeped up on you on the gym and then followed you to a completely second faraway location. It's not like I walked out of the treadmill area at the gym and to the pool area at the gym. Mm-hmm. No, he followed you in an automobile to a wholly separate, unrelated location. And the definition of being a woman is like sitting in your car going, am I the crazy one?
Yeah.
Despite the very crazy behavior from this other person. And I hope that we're feeling a turning amongst all of us to go, No. I will call the police right now. But 2010, back then, and even, 6 months ago or 5 years ago, but for damn sure 14 years ago, we had that. I was in college at the same time, and I would have done the same thing as you. I'm crazy. I don't know. I should just try to, let me just get out of the way. I'll just call my boyfriend. It'll be okay. But that is like textbook definition of a woman of like being objectively endangered. And going, well, maybe I'm making a big deal out of it.
Yeah,
and it's like, no, we're getting into a place where we're grabbing each other by the shoulders going, no, you are not making a big deal out of it. It is a big deal. And fuck your boyfriend for A, not answering his phone. I get it. You're in a library. Bitch, it still has vibrate. But also B, like when you immediately run at him, if he minimized it to you, like what the fuck? No.
That would piss me off big time. I was out of college at 2010, but I still would have reacted the same way, just given that time. The whole scenario would have freaked me out so much because immediately you're like, this guy isn't here for the gym. I mean, come on. Like, it didn't take a rocket scientist to be like, but I would also ask, how was he allowed to get in a college campus gym if he was not supposed to be there? And maybe it was 2010 and things weren't as secure as they are now. I have not been a college gym since 1998, but do you have a thing you swipe? Did he, like, how did he get in there?
That's what I was thinking at SMU, because when she was just describing like a big giant gym with like a bunch of stuff, my undergrad gym was very big too, but obviously law school gym, SMU is just like a private fancier school. And we had like turnstiles and you had to scan your ID before the turnstile would open to even like let you in. But it could be that, side door, back door, maintenance employee has a key, was doing construction on campus and knew that a door was open or whatever and has been, you just wonder like, how long were you watching me? And was it me or was it just because I happened to be the person that was there that day? But the following is, that's blatant following, but imagine like how many times this has come up in your life, Lindsay, that you've been like, that treadmill thing, that was crazy, what a weird thing. But it's like when you really sit down and write it out, you're like, this is definitely a dangerous situation I was in. And of course we do that to, I think, protect ourselves and protect our hearts and stuff. But there is power, I think, in what you've done here, which is sharing it and taking back the narrative and going, no, this happened to me. Mm-hmm. It was real and it was fucking scary and it was inappropriate. And I hope that man's untied Tim's tripped him and he fell somewhere. Because no one ever is allowed to make women or anybody feel unsafe. And following somebody like that and, jumping in a pool and then jumping out sopping wet to like
unhinged,
run at the gate, like hell motherfucking no. And I'm sorry you were by yourself and at the time, but I think it's like I said, my whole thing is I think we're moving towards a place where we all are looking out for each other. Where back in 2010, if you saw a weird person at the gym making a woman feel uncomfortable, you might go, oh, that's kind of weird, I don't know. I'm the bitch now that's gonna go, Do you need some help? Or go up and go, hey, Sandra, is that you? And whatever, something to do the like, I gotta be or what's
or
the right
stay
to be.
Around so they know they're just, not alone. You
I'm
know,
fucking just watching be like, you.
You gonna take both of us down? There's safety in numbers, and I'm also just that feeling of security in numbers too. Like, there are people at the pool. Maybe they weren't right around you, but you're telling me that no one at this pool saw a fully clothed man jump into it and then run to the gate, like. Somebody at some point perhaps could have stepped in. I don't know. At the very least, when you get your boyfriend on the phone, be just as concerned. Like, validate those feelings. To minimize it is why we all sit in our car and think, well, I shouldn't. I'm covered in my own sweat and tears and pool water, but surely everything's fine. I'm the one that's overreacting.
Yeah. Like, oh, I shouldn't call 911. I'm the crazy one. And I just hate that it takes stuff away from us. Like, when we are made to feel unsafe, we don't go back to the gym. We don't go back to swimming. We threw our book away. But we do these things because we feel safer not doing. And I feel like we have a right to do whatever we want to do and live in a safe place. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us, those of us who, like Lindsay, have gone through things like this and have been made to feel unsafe, and then lucky if you have not, but that means that you're still playing a part in this society that we're all living in that we have a role to be each other's keepers, I think, and watch each other's backs. And even if it's not like, I threw a kettlebell at a man at the gym today because he was talking to a woman. Don't do that. But, you know, like I said, any of that righttobe.org we talk about in the Kitty Genovese episode, where they have kind of training on what you can do just to be a better community member to, like,
absolutely
film stuff or intervene or, you know, go and get help or whatever. So I'm sorry there was nobody like that for you there, Lindsay, but I hope there's power in telling your story, and I hope everybody that listens feels empowered that if they see a treadmill man, that together we can defeat him.
Yes, we will. And also, I am very proud of you for writing this out and acknowledging now that this was a really big deal. I'm going through EMDR therapy right now, and so many things come up when you're going through your timeline of life and, like, trauma and stuff, that you're like, I hadn't thought about that in a while, but damn, that really did affect me. And then like the more you talk about it and talk about it with a third party, you're like, oh, this was actually pretty traumatic. And clearly like you thought about it and you don't talk about it, rarely if ever, you said, because of the feelings you have. So again, trauma is anything that overwhelms our ability to cope.
Yeah.
So regardless of how small you might think it is, if it has a meaningful impact on you, especially in a negative way, like, it's okay to feel that way. You are validated in your feelings, despite what anyone else might say. And if it's something that affected you traumatically, then it is real, and it's something that you can work through. And the first thing is, like, acknowledging it. So good on you.
Name it, know it, and then you can deal with it how you're going to deal with it.
Name it, know it, blow it.
Name it, know it, blow it, baby. That's a Sinisterhood way. You know, we wouldn't let y'all thank off you with for, all this lovely talk. I said, y'all know we weren't going to let y'all go with all this lovely, like, we truly mean every word of it, but we're also clowns. So
true. Yes. Yeah. I'm wearing an actual red nose right now, and Heather has a wig on. So
I just wear this all the time.
We just dress as clowns.
Nude in a clown wig. Yeah.
Thank you, Lindsay, for sharing that, because I guarantee you so many people have a similar story, and this is going to make them feel like, you know what? I'm not crazy for feeling as scared as I was back then. It's a scary thing. Imagine I'm 45. If this happened now, I'd be scared. In college, I would have been, like, beside myself.
Completely frozen. And I will say, I think, again, we talk about the power, the good thing that social media does in our connection and our empowerment of each other, that all the current college age Lindsays out there who might have something like this happen to them, I hope it does not, but we live in a world of people that are willing to do shit like this. So to have that knowledge of, like, no, when something like this happens, I'm going to call 911. Like, I can't, or I'm going to call campus police, or I'm going to go to the person at the gym, and I'm not invalid for doing that. So thank you for acknowledging what happened and being willing to share, because there's power in all that.
Empowering others. Yeah, for sure.
Give that power. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, it's not always easy if you're a macro counter to enjoy some of the macro areas that you're trying to, you know, that they're the best ones. Let's be honest. Like, I'm talking, like, fluffy, delicious bread, wraps. You're trying to eat toast and things, but you're trying to watch your macros. And with Hero Bread, you can focus on your health goals and still indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love. Like, enjoying a nutritious breakfast wrap, avocado toast, making a delicious bagel breakfast sandwich. The products are so delicious and flavorful, but they have ultra low net carbs. They have 0 grams of sugar, and they're high in fiber. My darling husband loves the Hero bagels. He says the taste and the texture are better than the full carb bagels with the high net carbs and with the sugar in them. He said, how is it that these taste as good, if not actually better, than the ones that have low fiber, if no fiber. And everybody knows trying to get more fiber in our diet. It's also a huge hit at the Wallace Brown household. I know the whole family over there loves the bagels, the bread, the pasta even. You would never know it's 0 to 5 grams net carb and 11 to 32 grams of fiber from the texture. You're going to get that soft, fluffy experience you know and love, whether you're making a fresh wrap or you're toasting up a 19 gram protein breakfast bagel. All the recipes are covered with Hero Bread's sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, and noodles. Small batch drops of the indulgent favorites like popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero Panna Chocolat. Ooh, that sounds good. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code CREEPY at checkout. That's CREEPY at HERO.co.
Well, this next one is from Midge, and this is called Mr. Lloyd's Shed. When I was 9 years old, my parents bought my childhood home from an elderly couple. I had met the couple a few times while the home buying process was taking place. They seemed fairly nice and were always interested in what I was doing. In the backyard, there was a very nice shed that had a wood stove, Murphy bed, desks, etc. Through conversation, we found out that the gentleman of the house, Mr. Lloyd, pretty much lived out there in his middle-aged years. The home was a 3-bedroom, but they had 6 children, and he said it was more enjoyable for him to live in the shed he built. In addition to the shed, he had built several other things on the property. Shortly after we moved into our house, I started using the shed as a playhouse. One day I found a box tucked away and started going through it. There were pill bottles in it, a few pictures of Mr. Lloyd in his younger days, and then nude photos that I don't really remember. I slammed the box shut and gave it to my parents. I don't really know what the next steps were because I was 9 or 10 years old. The police came to our house and asked me to show them where I found the box. They also asked if my parents had contact info for Mr. Lloyd. All we knew was that he and his wife had moved out of state. My parents told me to stay out of the shed until they had a chance to go through it, but they never really did. We found out a year or two later that Mr. Lloyd had died. Jump forward years later. My now husband and I were trying to save money to buy a house, so my parents told us we could live in the shed for a while. My husband and I went to check it out since no one had been in it in years. I told my husband, Eddie, what had happened all of those years ago. He made a joke that what if Mr. Lloyd kept building because there were bodies under the structures? As soon as he said that, a piece of plastic from the mini blinds snapped off and hit me in the eyes. Eddie joked that it was Mr. Lloyd, angry that I had seen the box and knew his secrets. Needless to say, I refused to move into the shed after that. 2 years later, Eddie and I were married with a little girl. We drove past an abandoned car wash that was outlined with police tape. I found out that the body of a young girl, around 15 years old, was found buried in the lot. She had been missing for 30 years. The report said that the girl was employed at the car wash at the time she went missing. The owner of the car wash was none other than Mr. Lloyd. Shortly after, the shed collapsed after a hurricane. My parents have since passed on and never told me what was in that box, but I firmly believe that the two events were connected. I also believe that the day Eddie and I were in the shed, I was attacked by the ghost of Mr. Lloyd, trying to protect his secrets. The girl's murder has never been solved.
Oh, Mr. Lloyd.
Mr. Lloyd was not up to good stuff.
No, he was unsavory. And I think Eddie was onto something. And that box of, and I mean, luckily I would say it's a good thing that Midge does not remember what the photos were because it could have been, who knows.
I think that's your brain protecting you.
Yeah, yeah. And luckily the police got involved and everything. But that's sad that it was well after Mr. Lloyd was dead that they dug up the car wash and were able to, you know, find her remains. But
whatever was in the box, I'm assuming her parents gave it, called the cops with it. Yeah. Whatever it was enough for them to stop by. If it's unsavory pictures of a minor, that's certainly a reason you would stop by the house.
Yeah, or unsavory pictures of a person who has duct tape on their mouth or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
Or they know it has gone missing, yeah.
True.
It's so bizarre when people leave things like that behind.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder if he forgot where he hid it and then but
or the, didn't want to get caught with it. But then you risk somebody else. I mean, I'm glad he did leave it because, mm-hmm. I mean, although he did never like get in trouble for it, but man, I would. I'm not suggesting this happens. If I were mm-hmm. the one to do this, find these things, mm-hmm. I'd probably be contacting some family members of the girl yeah. from the car wash just to say, like, I don't know if this means anything, but this is what I know.
Yeah, and I mean, I would assume the police would have kept it in an evidence locker mm-hmm. somewhere. I don't know. I don't know how the rules are on evidence destruction after so many years, yeah. but they clearly, if they took it and were asking about his whereabouts, there was something mm-hmm. to pin on him. So, man, I think you're right, though. I think Midge is right that Eddie saying that was, and it snapped something off mm-hmm. in the shed that whacked her in the eyes.
Also, I dare Tommy to build a shed in the backyard and go live in it because we've got kids in this house. Because that's better for his life.
So much easier to live without the six kids. It's probably easier to hide your crimes.
I'm sure it is way easier to live without six kids in your house and to commit your crimes.
But also just live apart from your family. Yeah, you're not taking responsibility yeah, exactly. for them, you ass. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah, lots. That one gave me the shivers.
No, it gave me the shivers as well. That's, oh. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Probably my favorite exercise used to be running. I would run outside, but then it got to be an oven outside. And then I thought, how am I going to keep up my fitness while I felt like I was trapped indoors? I didn't want to have to go somewhere, drive to the gym. Any of it required me leaving. And I can't invite a personal trainer to my house, can I? I don't know. It seems kind of weird to be like, come in my office with me on a dime whenever I have time. But I'll tell you what, I have found an app that can replace that experience. And honestly, it's the closest thing that you can to actually having another human in the room with you when you are working out. You get a new plan every week from a real coach that's talking you through it, much like you would if you had a personal trainer standing in front of you. What I love about the latter is that it's an actual plan. It's not a library of random workouts that I'm just thrown in to figure out on my own. Every week, I get a new plan that builds on the last one. So the training's always moving forward in these structured blocks. Like I said, it's like having a personal trainer right in your headphones. There's in-ear coaching, walks you through every step with form reminders, cues, motivation. The app even remembers your weights and reps automatically, so you can actually see yourself getting stronger over time. Also, the variety, A+. Whether you're into Pilates, bodybuilding, kettlebells, glute-focused programming, at-home dumbbell workouts, whatever, there is a plan for you, whether you train at home or at the gym. Even if you're the environment that you live in is conducive to human travel and you can go to your gym, you can also take the app with you so you can be working out in the environment, but it's just you and your phone. It's great. There's also a group chat with your actual coach who answers your questions. The community keeps you accountable in a way that feels genuine. They're there for you. Oh, the latter also now includes nutrition tracking at no extra cost. Food logging, macro insights, it's all built right into your training plan. All of that for less than $1 a day. That's elite level personal training for a fraction of what you pay for a single session with a trainer in person. Remove the guesswork with Ladder and get a real coach in your ear telling you exactly what to do for every workout. No thinking, everything planned for you. If you have an iPhone, head to ladder.fit/creepy and take a quick quiz to find your perfect ladder plan. Use our link and get a free 7-day trial with no credit card and $10 off your first month if you join.
Well, this next one also deals with the subject of rape. From the subject line, dinner with an alleged serial rapist. And this was from Kai. Dear Heather and Christy, hi ladies, spouses, children, and pets. Longtime listener and patron, first time writing in. You guys are my favorite podcast, and I could go on, but let's get into it. My husband is a physician's assistant in Kansas and has worked at several different hospitals over his career. Over a decade ago, at his first job out of PA school, he and I were invited to dinner by the doctor who was the head of his program at the time, Dr. Fred Tanzer. This was a friendly work dinner with my husband's boss at a very nice steak restaurant in town, so I was happy to go and be supportive. Although I've now gone to many of these kinds of dinners, we've now been married 10 years, this one still sticks out in my memory because I did not like this guy at all. It was dinner with Dr. Tanzer and his wife, and me and my husband, so just the four of us. I remember him as being super pompous. He talked the whole time and he frequently talked over others at the table. I also just kind of got the vibe that he didn't think super highly of women. I remember feeling sorry for his wife and just trying to enjoy the food and get through the dinner. I also remember telling my husband afterwards that I didn't want to have dinner with that guy again. Fast forward over a decade to a couple weeks ago when news breaks that Dr. Fred Tanzer has been arrested by the FBI in Ohio and is suspected to be a serial rapist. He has reportedly been linked through DNA evidence to a violent rape in 1989. I don't want to go into all the details here, but basically, he broke into a woman's home, waited for her, surprised her, and tied her up, and then proceeded to violently assault her over a period of 4 to 5 hours before leaving. This heroic woman reported her rape and had a rape kit done way back in 1989, which must have been very difficult. Recently, the DNA from this 1989 rape was linked to Dr. Fred Tanzer, and he was arrested. The rape victim turns out to be the best friend of Dr. Tanzer's wife in 1989. He has since remarried to the woman I met at dinner. He raped his wife's best friend, allegedly. Again, I don't want to go into all the details here. This whole story would take a mini-sode at least to tell. But if you Google him and read about the case, it's clear he planned his attack. He came prepared with what he needed to perpetrate the crime, and he took precautions to hide his identity. To my true crime brain, it does not seem like his first or only attack. Comes across as someone with experience. Even the fact that he attacked his wife's best friend, which is such an unnecessary risk of being recognized, seems like something only someone with a lot of confidence would do. The statute of limitations on the 1989 rape has already expired, but he is being charged with lying to the FBI. He lied when confronted about facts of the rape. He has also been linked to two more rapes, allegedly, and the Cincinnati police, who investigated the 1989 rape, have publicly stated that he is likely a, quote, serial offender. The FBI is asking the public to, quote, consider the circumstances of the rapes and the locations where Tanzer has lived, and to report similar information. He has been linked to Kansas, Colorado, and Ohio. He's currently 66 years old. Now, getting back to my husband. My husband worked with this asshole for several years, but I don't really have any other stories about him that are noteworthy. Sounds like the two of them had a pretty normal working relationship, and he was a competent, if arrogant, doctor. A lot of doctors are pretty arrogant, though, so I guess nothing seemed unusual as far as my husband could tell. One last thing, though. If you Google Dr. Fred Tanzer and look at the image results, my poor sweet husband shows up in the first three. Dr. Fred Tanzer is standing right next to him. So random, but that's my brush with true crime. I'm also including a link to an article about Dr. Tanzer. Thank you for all you do, ladies, and thanks for sharing my story, or at least reading it.
This is an eerie guy and an eerie case.
He looks like evil. Yeah, you just went about your day like everything was great at the hospital, didn't you?
Meanwhile, for decades, you have been a sophisticated and brutal, is the federal affidavit language. They said that in his dresser, they found zip ties, a black hat, restraints, and a gag all together, like his little kit that he could go grab out of his dresser. And it looks like Starbucks did him in. He got a look, a venti pike place with three Splendas and a half inch room for cream, and he threw it away at the DMV and they picked it up and tested it. So
my question is, and I haven't dug too much into it, so it might be answered in those articles, of why they suspected him to go seek out his DNA.
In March of 2024, he became, quote, a prime suspect, and they it doesn't say why that I can see from this brief article, but like Kai said, that would probably take a whole mini-sode to cover it, but it looks like it was coming back and there's DNA in the case. And it might've been a case of, hey, we've got this rape kit from 1989. Mm-hmm. Why have we not tested it? Was there even a suspect? And it's like, I'm sure if you went back and asked this lady, if your best friend's husband raped you, even if he had on a mask, it said he took extreme measures to conceal his identity, I feel like you would know.
Maybe.
I felt like, am I crazy? I'm not saying that she did anything wrong whatsoever. I'm just saying that might be an easy way to just ask the victim, even though it's been the ball has been dropped for two decades, to go, hey, we're picking up this cold case. And she's like, yeah, I think I told you a long time ago, nobody did anything.
Yeah, I didn't see if it said that she told them, just that she was very brave and got the
extremely
kit
brave
done, especially in 89. Yeah, it was a different time. It is very bold to commit a crime like that against your wife's best friend. Whether or not you know, I don't know. You might be just fighting for your life that you're not even thinking straight to. But if they go back to her later and say, did you happen to know any of these people back in the day? And she's like, oh, yeah, that guy was my best friend's husband at the time.
Yeah,
well, there's
exactly
a connection.
No, definitely. They also said the two additional victims came forward that accused him of repeated druggings and rapes as recently, you know, as that 2.5 years ago. It's not like this was I think you should still go to jail for something in 1989. The fact that the statute of limitations run is also disgusting, but that's a soapbox for a different day, because I don't think he should just, well, you beat the rap for long enough, so we'll let you go. It's like,
totally
no, but
agree.
Good news is he'll remain in prison while awaiting trial. And I imagine if you're charged by the FBI with DNA evidence, you are not getting out ever again.
I hope not. If that was 1989, they also found a kit, and then more victims have come forward. Like with the first case, you know, I just think how many more that we don't know about, you know,
certainly,
or maybe that will come forward. Some may not even be around anymore. It's I hate the statute of limitations. I don't want anyone to get away with stuff like this.
For sure.
And anytime I find out, I'm like, this motherfucker for 20 years just was roaming the streets, doing whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Living his life, being a doctor, having holiday parties, yucking it up with his coworkers or whatever. But we cannot overstate the value of that, the bravery of that initial 1989 victim to have that. You know, you probably just get beat down over the years thinking nothing's ever going to happen. It never. And of course, justice delayed feels absolutely like justice denied, but it's at least, you know, something. And ideally it will serve as a warning to law enforcement to go, listen, when this happens, you've got to doggedly search for these people, because clearly if it was as soon as 2 years ago, they don't fucking stop. It doesn't matter if they're in their 60s, they will not stop. Same with the guy from the Philadelphia area in the prior story. They don't stop in 20 years. It's just, they get better at it, in fact. So
unless you're like the Golden State Killer and you literally become so old, you can't. But look how long it took for them to catch him. Also with the discarded cup in the trash outside his home.
Rex Heuermann style with the pizza in New York City. So I'm glad that cold cases still get attention, because it very clearly has to do with current public safety. It's not a waste of taxpayer funds to clear the backlog of rape kits. In fact, it's a huge, huge investment in public safety to clear a backlog of rape kits, because it gets rapists like Dr. Fred Tanzer off the streets.
Yeah. It's hard to think of someone doing that one time, you know?
Like, and having a whole kit, yeah.
Yeah, or anyone in it like this. You're like, this wasn't the first and this wasn't the last. And regardless of when it happened, even if the 1989 was the only one they could tie him to, I know a lot of states have statute of limitations. Some don't, but we should all move towards zero statute of limitations on rape.
Certainly on sex crimes, absolutely. And especially it's silly to me that murder has no statute of limitations, when oftentimes cases of murder perhaps could be justified. There's never a justification for rape and sexual assault. So why would one crime be treated differently than the other? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And this is another testimony to women's instincts, man.
Yeah.
You knew from the minute you saw him, like, this guy sucks shit.
You're like, something in my spine is tingling in a bad way. Like, makes you kind of sick and like, danger, danger, poison, poison, get away. Yeah,
even
your gut was right.
He doesn't respect women. And the amount of time that you spend with someone at dinner, you garnered that.
And it's definitely a prerequisite to being a sex predator, not to respect women.
Well, thank you so much, Kai, for sending that in. And Godspeed your husband having to work with someone like that. Just going back later and being like, God, I stood next to that man and he had just done this the night before.
Right. Like, he was always kind of like, I didn't like him. He was kind of an arrogant jerk, but like the eeriness to know that he just scrubbed up and came in the next day. It's bone chilling.
It is. It is.
Sinisterhood will be right back. I heard someone say recently, August is the Sunday of summer, because you feel that anxiety, the impending doom, what all is about to happen. Your calendar is filling up. How is this all going to work? And one thing that you can get your arms around, one thing before the chaos hits, do a little reset. And for me, I'm liking to do a closet reset. That's where I go to quince.com and find all of the pieces I know I'm going to grab over time that are going to look great over time and that fit with the wardrobe I already have. Quince, they have all the right pieces, so you don't have to load the closet up. You can just get the stuff that works. We're talking 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops starting at $32. Soft, easy denim, organic cotton sweaters that are perfect for layering on a cool August night. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and that's not by accident. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen entirely. So you're paying for quality, not a brand name. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for elevated essentials across home, kitchen, and bedding too. It's the rare thing where everything feels elevated, but still easy. For me, that means my Quince uniform, which is either the denim chambray shirt or the white 100% European linen cotton shirt. Like, it's like a button-up shirt, but I leave it open. So I either wear a tank top or a t-shirt, or sometimes I'll wear my Quince washable silk tank top. And all of that, just grab it out of the closet, throw on some jeans, throw on sometimes even shorts or a skirt. And I feel like I always look like one notch nicer than if I were just wearing a shirt, just wearing a tank top. So thank you, Quince, for giving me a uniform that I can wear throughout the summer and the fall and forever, pretty much from here on out. Let's be honest. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy. Well, this next one is from Heather. Not me, Heather, but I love another Heather in the world. What's up? Subject line is, I work on a haunted steamboat. Hey, ladies, you are some of my favorite people. My Friday ritual every morning is to drive to my early workout class, sip on some coffee, and listen to Freaky Friday. So I was so excited to have a story to share. Let me get started by saying I have the best job ever. I work on a haunted steamboat. It's called the Belle of Louisville, and it's located in Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Kentucky Derby and all the bourbon. The Belle was actually built in 1914. It started out as the Idlewild. In the late 1940s, she had a captain named Ben Winters, who was known for having some slightly shady friends. These friends were doing a little bit of illegal gambling on the boat one night, which resulted in the police raiding them. The shock of this gave Ben Winters a heart attack, which he later died from, and it was his dying wish to name the boat the Avalon. It's considered bad luck by some to rename a boat, but considering we're the oldest steamboat of our kind in the world, things are going okay for us, knock on wood. Ben Winters is rumored to haunt the boat, but that's not even the story I ran here to tell you today. Anyway, our boat was the Avalon until 1962, and then the city of Louisville bought her and eventually restored her to her adorable turn-of-the-century greatness. This was when she got her third name changed to the Belle of Louisville. And you'll see her all over our city in murals, logos, and random memorabilia in antique shops. Every year, we have a big steamboat race that's part of the Kentucky Derby Festival. We're kind of TikTok and Instagram famous for an instrument we have on our boat, the steam calliope. It's a really loud organ-type instrument that steamboats would have back in the day in order to announce their presence before the internet. They'd start playing when they got close to a destination, and you can hear it for 10 miles or so. People in these river towns would flock to the shore to see the steamboat coming in when they heard the calliope from far away. Now we play music requests and some pop music on the calliope, and people love it. They also love our player, who is an actual angel named Martha. When the boat was leaving the dock today, I ran into one of our mates, and he asked me if Martha had told me what happened to her over the weekend. I had just spoken to Martha, but she hadn't mentioned it. However, we were texting back and forth to coordinate some new calliope songs, and later that afternoon, she mentioned that someone told her she had to tell me her story. So, it was right before a cruise, and Martha was playing a selection of songs like she usually does. She'll come on board, play a few numbers, and then head home. She was on her way down the stairs to kick off a peaceful evening and cool off from being on the top deck of a steamboat in Kentucky humidity when she ran into one of our engineers. Our engineers are in charge of checking the steam pressure and running the engines during a cruise, as well as maintaining the engines, which date back to the 1890s, 20 years before the Belle was even built. When it's safe to come down and check things out, people are welcome to come down and explore and chit-chat with them. However, when we're taking off, turning, and docking, we use a yellow rope to signal to people that the engineers are busy, so people can't go down to the engine room just yet. This engineer asked Martha if she could pull the yellow rope on her way out, so she went over to the top of the staircase to the engine room to do so. At the top of the staircase is a closet, and as Martha came closer, she heard someone kicking and pounding on the door of the closet and screaming, "Help me! Help me out! I'm stuck!" Martha ran to go get one of our engineers to unlock the closet. They got out the key, opened the door, and found nothing. This is actually a linen closet full of shelves that a person can't even fit into. I've heard stories that our engine room is home to the one angry ghost on the Belle. This is the ghost of a deckhand who we call Floyd. According to legend, before a moonlight cruise many decades ago, Captain Winter sent Floyd down to the engine room. He was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be. So, when the boat was ordered to go full steam ahead, yes, that's where the saying comes from, Floyd was crushed in the paddle wheel, exactly one deck below the closet where Martha heard the trapped entity. I went on the boat right after getting Martha's text, and let me tell you, I got chills and goosebumps, and the hair on my arms was standing straight up. This is only the latest of a long list of ghost stories. The ghost I feel most connection to is Gladys, a beautiful young woman who disappeared off the side of the boat in the 1930s. No one knew the name of the warm female spirit who haunted our ballroom, but I was able to piece Gladys' story together through old newspaper reports. Maybe next time, I'll write in with her story. If anyone has any interest in riding the haunted steamer Belle of Louisville, you actually still can. We go out on the water several times a week. If you're ever in Louisville, I would totally love to have you on board to see if you get the same vibes we do. Keep it creepy and see you for a mint julep and a seance, maybe? Heather.
Ooh, I'd love a mint julep and a seance and a steamboat. What a fun afternoon that would be.
But I love that full steam ahead is like for real. Also, yeah. Scary job to be working with 1890s engines in 2025. Like, amazing craftsmanship.
Yeah, it's how do you... You got to go back in time to go to engineer school to learn how to even take care of this. Very impressive, too, to be able to play a calliope.
That's crazy.
Like organs or anything. I follow this girl on TikTok who plays this huge organ at, oh gosh, it's a famous place. It escapes me now. But just like the strength and like, it's just way different than a piano. And it's, you know, not something that a lot of people know to do. So Martha. Not at all. You're doing the work, and I'm sorry that you, I think you heard somebody trapped in time.
Yeah, Martha's playing some tunes, and then you never know. Like, I feel like there's some, I don't know, energy in music and sound waves, and I'm like, you're playing the tunes of, like, back in the day, and maybe, I don't know, you jiggle up the ghost from the bowels or something. I don't know, they hear the tune, and they're like, we're leaving port, but... Mm. It's so scary when you're like, oh, someone's being injured right now. Like, I'm nervous that there's someone, like, trapped in a closet mm-hmm. or hurt or had fallen or whatever. And then it's just empty.
It's linens. Just empty. It's just some sheets and tablecloths.
That's all. But what a badass yeah. job, Heather. Like, I love, first of all, I'm a boat person. So it's so cool you get to work on not just a boat, but such an old boat that's, like,
yeah.
loved and restored and, like, part of your city's fundamental landscape, sounds like.
I will definitely go. I don't think I've been to Kentucky before.
I don't think I have either, other than perhaps a drive-through, but.
Yeah, maybe that, but I don't even know if I've driven through it.
That's but what I was trying to remember.
I would love to do something like this if we ever go, so we will take you up on that if we're ever in your neck of the woods.
We got to get to the Bluegrass State for the Steamboat and Cocaine Bear. Hell yeah.
They also have like a million great festivals and stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
Time it just right.
Get some good music too. Well, thank mm-hmm. you very much, Heather. And our regards to the other boat ghosts. We'd love to hear about them.
Yes. Gladys, please let us know what she's up to.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average.
They make it super simple. pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount.
See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. This next one's from Corinne, and the subject line is High School Shenanigans, the Malevolent Muppet Mystery. Hey, Christy and Heather, thank you for keeping me company on my drives and putting on a fabulous show about the moon in Denver. I listen to you all the time on my way to coach synchronized swimming, and I have to be super careful that you're paused before I hook up my phone to our sound system when I get there. But I'm working on raising your next generation of spooky thing lovers. Tonight, I heard someone's story about school being suddenly canceled for not flesh-eating bacteria, and it triggered my own mysterious school cancellation story. On a cold January day in 2010, I drove my brother to our small K-12 school in Colorado. I was a senior, and he was a sophomore, celebrating his 16th birthday that very day. As we turned into the school, we noticed a weird number of cars turning out of the school, including some cars I recognized as my classmates who should be parking in the high school parking lot. Why were they leaving the school at 7:45 a.m.? When we finally made it up the school driveway, we were turned back with many police cars and various emergency vehicles blocking off the parking lot. Sometime in the traffic jam, my flip phone started buzzing with the high school gossip chain. They found a suspicious package in the parking lot. This was a shortly past 9/11 world. Suspicious packages was code for, obviously terrorists have infiltrated our suburban Colorado town where nothing happens. Confused about where to go with our routine disrupted, we returned to the main road and drove home. I did not realize then that my brother has spooky intuition for how serious a situation should be, and he was completely right here too. So when he irreverently exclaimed that it was a birthday bomb, I should have known how this would turn out. Back at home, we pulled up the local news website, and of course, the text rumor mill continued. A mother of an elementary school student identified the package while dropping her kid off early. It was a black bag with weird cans in it, and something bloody was in it. The SWAT team was at the school. They had that robot thing out there like we were in the Hurt Locker. The Boulder Bomb Squad finally deemed the suspicious package safe enough to approach without getting blown up. They tentatively approached and unzipped the duffel. And there was indeed a redded being in there. Our English teacher's Kermit doll, riddled with red paint. And the sketchy cans? Axe spray. It's a high school in 2010. Obviously, Axe body spray was involved. It turns out some kids in 10th or 11th grade stole the Kermit doll and decided it needed a deadly-looking makeover in the form of paintballs or Sharpie or something. Once that was done, they stuffed poor Kermit into someone's duffel bag and left it as a joke in the bed of their friend's pickup truck while he was finishing sports practice. When the friend came back at the end of the day, he certainly didn't want to bring Kermit's corpse home, so he pulled it out of his truck, plopped it on one of the islands in the parking lot, and went on his merry way, unaware he'd just incited a bomb incident. I don't think anyone faced charges once things were straightened out, although there was a hot minute when they thought it was my senior class prank. We took particular offense to this since when we were in eighth grade, again, K-12 school, the senior class blamed their second prank on the eighth graders, and we were done being blamed for shenanigans we did not shenaniganize. Link below is the article from the day of the incident. We got a day off school that I completely misused by studying for AP calculus instead of being a rebellious teenager, and we went back to school on Thursday like nothing had happened.
Oh no.
I don't love everything about this because there's fear in the beginning. But imagining the Hurt Locker robot bomb thing having to come out there.
Of this article, please go to our Instagram. I swear to you, I will post this. It says emergency personnel take pictures of Kermit the Frog in the parking lot from the peak to peak charter school Wednesday morning. The doll with other suspicious items were found in the parking lot. Listen, I'm glad that they come out and they take it seriously, but this fucking photo of the crime scene taking pictures of Kermit the Frog is next level, dude. It's the best picture I've ever seen.
Is this real?
Yeah, it's so good.
No, they had to have staged this.
No, it's so good. Paul Aiken, photographer for the Daily Camera, would never stage an image. He's there to capture reality, and that's what happened.
It's so much bigger than I thought it was.
It's humongous. I'm really sorry that they wrecked that. As a person who collects weird dolls and stuff, it bums me out that your English teacher lost her big-ass Kermit, because that looks like a dope doll.
Yeah, it looks like it's missing a leg.
They ripped its foot off.
Its leg is laying over beside it on the asphalt.
Honestly, Kermit looks like he got into some Acme dynamite or something and like blew up. He's like ridiculous. But that is such a wacky. Yeah, your brother was right. It was a birthday bomb. It was a present inside. Which
it was.
Is it,
they were like, you don't need to come to school today. How embarrassing, though, that you're like, stupid friends, and you just toss the duffel bag because you're like, I'm not going to deal with this. And then everyone's like, oh my God, did you hear there's a bomb at school? What? Uh-oh.
You're like, yeah, it's a black duffel bag with cans and something bloody in it left on an island. And you're like,
oh, Axe body spray, man. Oh,
yeah.
Just someone saying that, I immediately, it's visceral. I immediately can smell it. It's so much.
It's its own, it's just its own sharp scent we it's hadn't its own had thing? Until the mid-2000s, and now we can't leave it because those cans are forever.
Is it still around?
Oh, yeah. They produce it. Oh, yeah. If you accidentally find yourself in that Target aisle, you're like, okay, I know where I'm at. All right,
is there. That a deal? Is that a deal breaker, ladies? if you're dating someone, it's early on you're dating. You go over to their house, you're using the bathroom, and you see like a can of Axe body spray there. Are you like, oh, well, this isn't going to work out? You say, you know what? It's not that bad. Do you let it slide?
It would depend. If you're both teenagers in high school, then it's fine.
What's the age cutoff for being allowed to use Axe body spray?
I would say like 2 years out of college, but also I feel like Axe does
out of college.
Yeah, like because guys aren't gonna like completely, you know, they're not somebody. They should have a finishing class for all of us, honestly, when we graduate anything, and be like, listen, we left some shit out, and we're gonna just give it to you straight right here. We have 30 minutes. Go. All right. Here's some sanitize, like personal hygiene things we need to cover. Here's this. And just don't overdraw your checking account. Fees are crazy. Credit
Dude,
cards.
Yeah.
You're going to pay a lot of interest. Let me tell
you. Tommy and I talk all the time about how no one in high school that isn't maybe your parents, and if they don't do it, then you're just fucked, like tells you how those things work. Mm-mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like the importance of like credit and all of that, like you just don't know. And then you graduate and you're an idiot and you run up a bunch of credit cards and then you're paying for it for decades,
right? That's what I got an email from the Dallas Bar, and some organization was asking for volunteers to go to schools and be like, hey, we're gonna give you this like smart money system program, you know. It was kind of like, I don't know if it's from the federal government, the FTC or somebody, but it's kind of like a little prepackaged school approved thing. But also they were asking for particularly bankruptcy and consumer attorneys to go out and talk to students and be like, I'll tell you what happens if you run up a credit card and don't pay it off. Like, here's kind of worst case scenario, but also on the front end, how it works and how it functions. Cause like you said, no one's telling us. No one told me.
No, I was, there was a lot of stuff that I think we should have all been taught at some point in our educational years that just doesn't get taught. Maybe it does now. I don't know.
Well, I think we can blame the government going in and being like, well, you have to ring a bell every 4 minutes and make sure the kids are learning, and then they'll be regurgitating the information on a standardized test with mm-hmm. bubbles in it. I'm sure if we would trust educators to educate instead of forcing guidelines on them that are meaningless and just done by corporations, we probably would get some even better stuff than we already get. But unfortunately, there's a lot of that. Thanks, George
don't
W. Bush.
Get me started on standardized tests.
I remember being like, these tests suck shit when I was a kid. And my mom's like, thank W. And I was like, whatever. And then I grew up and I was like, no, it was him. It was Texas's fault. So sorry, America.
I don't do well on standardized tests. And it sucks because I'm a smart person. But if that's what you're going to let somebody into college over, it really sucks if you don't test well.
Mm-hmm. And it's then you do get to label people as, oh, well, you know, you're a low achiever, you're a high achiever. And it's like some people are just good at memorizing and some of them have ADHD and completely zone out during the math part of the SAT and get almost a zero on it. So.
Oh, dude, the math part. I don't even know if I scored anything. I mean, it was rough. It was rough.
It was just like, oh, I'm a guess. So
I wonder if I took that test now. How I would do. Is there a way you can just take the SAT for, I'm going to say for funsies.
Let's do it for fun.
I just want to see if I, with no preparation, if I would score higher now than I did when I took it in high school.
That would be fun. We should, because I know they changed the elements of it. So we would have to find like a practice one from when we took it if we wanted like a one-to-one measurement. Because okay. I think it used to be it was scored between, I don't know, like 500 and 1500. And now it's like 800 and 2300 or something. Oh, you know God. What I mean? I think they changed like what all you have to like, yeah. You know what I mean? What all you have to do. So
well, I think 1600 was the highest when I
feel like me too.
That when I took it that you could get when I was nowhere close to that one. I'll tell you that right now. And then I had a lot of friends take the ACT.
Yeah, which I never took that.
I didn't either, but my friends that took it were like, it's so much, it's easier and the scoring is easier.
Someone should have told me that.
I know, because I think that one is like something to 30 or 35. So, you know, it's a different scoring system and it's easier to score higher, apparently. I don't even know if they still do that.
No, I do remember whatever I scored, it was like reasonably near what Jessie on Saved by the Bell scored when she was devastated that she thought her life was over. And I remember having seen that. And then I remember getting my score and I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, shit. Was that when she was taking caffeine pills to stay up to study and Zach had to confront her?
I'm so scared, Zach.
Jesse, what are these? That scene lives in my head rent-free. I think so I thought about that like within the past week. I've thought about that scene.
That's why when we had that 90s party for my sister's birthday and Aaron for his high proof, he goes, I'm going to make a tumbler for it. And I was like, can you carve Jesse Spano crying on the front of this cup? And he was like, you bet your ass I can. And I was like, that's high proof way. I was like, I have a mug that says, I'm so excited. And it's her crying on the front. But I think that might, I can't remember if it's that one. I definitely know it's the same one where she's, they're trying to be part of like a girl group and they're jumping on trampolines. This took a turn into Saved by the Bell memories, but
I don't remember that one. And I think I've seen them all. I probably would if I started watching it, but yeah.
Oh yeah.
What a show.
Floods back. And they're all like 35 on that show.
Oh my gosh. We were talking about this recently, that in 90210, we're like, we all watched that just like, yeah, this is what high schoolers look like.
I remember as a kid being like getting into high school and being like, why are these fucking kids in here?
You're like, I don't see anyone that looks like Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Excuse me, where is the motorcycle?
Yeah, why aren't any of you guys have like gray at your temples or like some crow's feet around your eyes?
Oh, man. So well dressed. So just, I mean, always. You know, they were all rich. So.
That's how it is in old SoCal on TV. It's a magical place.
90210. Or, well, as we recently saw on TikTok, someone giving the ad or someone asked what the bathroom code at Starbucks was, and the barista said 90210. And the person that asked died because they were like, you're so young that you don't know that that's 90210.
Like, oh, this is horrifying. Oh, no. Sinisterhood will be right back.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average.
They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount.
See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
All right, well, this final one we've got is from Susie. I've been excited about this one all day.
I have been so excited about this. You have not read this, correct? Mm-mm. You're going in.
I'm going in.
Not empty. Knowing anything. I have read it. I saved it for last and gave it to Heather because we'll all see why.
And the thing I meditated on this morning was I vow to dive into the unknown and just I'm diving in, baby.
There's nothing more unknown than what this is about to be.
Well, Susie sends it with the subject line, sexually attractive ghost. Susie writes, trigger warning, this is a sexy ghost story. I was a sophomore in college and home for summer break. My boyfriend at the time would sleep over at my house a lot because I stopped being allowed at his house after his mom found out I wasn't baptized. This comes full circle, I promise. Anyway, one night we were up late watching a movie, and all of a sudden my TV started turning on and off repeatedly. Figuring it was just a weird electrical problem, I got up and unplugged it, and then plugged it back in. Well, it turned back on and started to bug out. First, it switched to this weird static channel and began messing with the volume. Up, down, up, down. Then it started turning on and off repeatedly again. We got so freaked out that we left the house and went to the 24-hour diner to wait out the night. We shook in silence and ate pancakes until the sun came up. I was terrified of spending the next night in my room alone, so my boyfriend reluctantly agreed to stay over again. That night, I insisted we watch a movie that not even a poltergeist could ruin for me, Mean Girls. As I passionately rapped along with Kevin G, I began to relax and eventually drifted off to sleep. Not long after, I was awakened by the sharp nudge of my boyfriend, absolutely terrified and pointing to the ceiling light. It was flickering on and off repeatedly, almost frantically. I couldn't shake the feeling that whatever this was, it was desperately trying to get my attention. Regardless, we immediately ran out of the house into the diner, where we once again shook in silence and ate pancakes until the sun came up. I spent the next night alone and terrified. Somehow, I was able to fall asleep, but shortly after was awakened abruptly, not by a noise or light, but by the physical feeling of my bed sinking, as if something or someone was sitting on it. I shot up, terrified, and that's when I saw it. That same something that had been fucking with my electronics was now visible to my eyes, sitting at the edge of my bed. I knew that I was seeing a ghost, and that ghost was hot as fuck. I was shocked at how fucking hot this ghost was. Ghosts aren't supposed to be hot. They're supposed to be gross and shitty looking, like sad, mangy colonial men. That's not what this was. This was a young, supple man. Crisp. Oh, y'all. This was a young, supple man with crystal blue eyes and hair of gold. Just punk rock enough to grab your interest, but wholesome enough to introduce to your judgmental parents. And it felt sexual. All of it. I knew I had a boyfriend, and I really liked him, but I loved this ghost. I blinked again, and he was gone. But my infatuation would persist. I went to a water park with some friends the next day and could not stop thinking about this beautiful stranger that had flirtingly terrorized me in the night. I could not get him out of my head. I hoped he would come back tonight. But this time, I'd be ready. No oversized underpants and stained Harvard Law Just Kidding t-shirt. This time, I'd wear normal size underpants and a clean Harvard Law Just Kidding t-shirt. I got home that evening and ran into my room, looking forward to a second date with my paranormal star-crossed lover. As I gleefully hopped through the door, I was met with a strong herbal smell and was surrounded by rosary beads. I was then face-to-face with my boyfriend. What the fuck are you doing here? I said. My mom said you were being haunted by ghosts because you weren't baptized and told me to sage your room and hang rosary beads everywhere, he said. Thanks, babe. I winced through gritted teeth, seemingly certain that these plastic beads were not going to cock block me. Well, guess what? They did, because I never saw the hot ghost again.
I'm dying.
I'm so glad I didn't read that in advance. Thank you, Susie. Well,
I love it. We don't hear enough about hot ghosts. And you're right. They're always, it's like, there's like memes and stuff about how ghosts don't exist past like war-torn times because you never see those. I want to see some millennial ghosts. I want to see some hot Gen X ghosts walking around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's about
some
time.
Some of those Chippendales dancers.
We need something.
Or like a Zach Morris kind of a look. This is what I envision because of the golden locks, mm-hmm. the little punk rock. You, Susie, could get a job writing descriptions of people that then they could put into their dating profile. Because if I read this, I'd be like, I'll fuck that guy or ghost yeah. right now. Today. Yeah. I'll swipe
Everybody
right immediately.
Everybody wants someone that's like, you know, you want a freak in the sheets and a non-ghost on the streets.
A young, supple man with crystal blue eyes and hair of gold? Come
Love
on.
It. Sounds
Come
like on. A Greek god.
Swipe.
I have a theory.
Go.
Well, if we examine the beginning of this story, what were we seeing? We were seeing electrical problems where things were being plugged, unplugged, mm-hmm. plugged, unplugged. Things going up, down, up, down, up, down, repeatedly, fast, fast, fast. The flicking of the lights, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. It's almost as if he was already fucking.
Oh, yeah, he was
or
ready.
Or he was saying, hey, this is what you can have. If
I'll
you
love
it, get your boyfriend to go back home for a night, and this is the speed at which we're going to be doing things.
You're the outlet, I'm the plug into. Let's do it. I could not love a story more. I am really sorry that the sage and the rosary beads scared him off. Oh, man. If anybody's listening that you know how to conjure old poltergeist, send it in. We'll forward it to Susie.
I usually don't say go to the Ouija board. If you can get just the sexy ghost to answer, then I say do it.
And the good thing about the Ouija board is, you know, if you say, well, hey, what message do you have for me? And they just send it to the DTNF. Message received.
They just keep, the planchette just keeps going burp, 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 back and forth from yes
DTF,
real fast.
DTF,
yes,
DTF,
yes, yes,
DTF.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Well, may he visit you again someday. Maybe it'll be like in Titanic. You live a nice long life, and then when you die, all your family and memories, it goes away, and you just see that one guy from your youth that you've been waiting for, that Leonardo DiCaprio waiting for you.
Is that what happened at the end of that movie?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing is she gets off the boat. Spoiler alerts for Titanic if you haven't watched it. It's a 2-cassette VHS tape, so make sure you watch the second tape.
It came out in 1996, I think.
Did. Came out in 1996. But she gets off the boat and starts a new life. She ditches Billy Zane, Cal. Of course, Leo's a popsicle at the bottom of the ocean. And then she has a new family, has kids. One of her kids is on the boat with her talking to Bill Paxton,
right.
R.I.P. And then at the end, she dies in her sleep.
After throwing the necklace off the... Which, why the fuck, lady? Like, that's a huge... That could go in a museum. Sell it and give it to some needy organization. My God, yeah, don't just chunk it into the fucking sea.
That's such a waste. And if you think like, oh, well, I don't want my kids to be spoiled rich kids. Like you said, other people could use
yes.
that.
Yes.
Maybe. But then when she dies, you know, she's like goes to, you know, to take a old dirt nap, as we say.
I've never heard that.
There's a lot of phrases. I told you one of my 2023 resolutions is leading into my Texasness.
Well, I mean, I'm born and raised here, but I haven't heard that, but I'm going to start using it now. We also got to use, I don't know if this is Texas, but this is my husband.
Are you doing it? Are you going to share
the other night? Tommy's telling us a story. Wait, what were we talking about?
I don't recall.
It was something about
was it
not
when he was,
AI or something about robots or something.
I thought it was on his rant about funeral homes. Was that not it?
He did go on a rant about funerals.
It was fantastic. My favorite.
In general.
My favorite part is when I go, what happened at a funeral that has had you so upset? He goes, I could tell you a half a dozen stories right now. And I was like, God.
Yeah. But he goes, but listen, no. When the shit shakes out, we're all going to realize none of this mattered. We were like, the shit shakes out.
I fell off the porch. Like I tumped down the stairs because Tommy's like, just so slick in the way he said it. He's like, yeah. And then when the shit shakes out, then you'll know. And I was like, what the fuck is that? I got to start saying that. You know, when the shit shakes out.
It's just like, and that's jazz, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a fantastic one. But how did we get on the shit shakes out? We're talking about, oh, Texan-ness. Yeah. When she takes at the end of Titanic, she takes her old dirt nap. And then she's in what one would presume heaven, the afterlife, et cetera. Depends on your views. And she's in the stairwell, well-dressed. And Jack, a.k.a. Leonardo DiCaprio, is in a suit. And they like reunite and are dancing and stuff. And
on the ship?
Yeah.
It's been a minute since I've seen this. I mean, I know the gist of what happens on the Titanic, but it's like, I forgot about this part.
My favorite part is heaven is to go to the ship that sunk. Like, do you remember that tragedy that you lived through?
They killed the man of your dreams, apparently. Let's go back there.
That might be hell. Like, I think maybe she went to hell at the end. We don't know. But regardless, Leonardo DiCaprio's there. But the point that many people over the years have made is like, she had like a whole family. And then when she died, her heaven was like not to be with her family, but was like, I'm going to actually go over here and try to get that Leo dick.
Dang. I mean, we can't look at him.
Listen, we all live our lives. And when the shit shakes out, we either end up in heaven or hell. And Leonardo DiCaprio, he's going to be in both places. So it doesn't matter.
That's true. I think he will. He's one of those that you're going to see him everywhere. He's done he's good. Ubiquitous. He's done bad. I mean, I don't know if he's done anything hell worthy. But, you know, he
cares about the planet. He's like the lady on The Good Place that ends up in the medium place a lot. Yeah, that's Leonardo DiCaprio.
He'll be in the medium place.
He's in the medium place. Well, I can't thank you enough, Susie. That was a phenomenal tale, and may you be reunited.
And may this spark other tales, like so many, where people are like, oh, I forgot about my sexual ghost encounter, because if we need to do another show, mm-hmm. a weekly show that's just talking about ghost fucking,
phantom
we'll
fucks.
Work it into our schedules.
We can do it.
Somehow.
Yeah, no, we can. We'll make it happen. We'll make a call.
Thank you so much to everybody for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true tale, maybe you have encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Also, if you have a freaky, creepy, some kind of weird video, unexplainable clip, you have a funny video you want us to see, send it to sinisterhood.com/sundayscaries, where we will watch and react to those videos after we have our catch-up live stream, where we love to chat with you all in about pretty much whatever you want to talk about. We have you throw it in the chat. If we have something we want to talk about, something pops up in conversation, we follow whatever is fun or interesting. So it's totally free. You just have to enter your email address. It's basically like signing up for an email list, and you also get a whole back catalog over on Patreon. If you like our free episodes, you will love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, such as Judge Christie, where her honor rules on, like I said, some unprecedented cases this last docket. And I'm the one that chooses them, but especially the appeal case, that doesn't happen often, so it's pretty rare. So check that out. We also have a new True Crime Headlines, like I said up top, where we discuss Koberger as well as Jared Leto and the eBay terrorism case, which is not a sentence I ever thought I would say. We also have a whole back catalog of over 1,000 hours of bonus content, so check that out. If you're not sure if you want to join, we have free trials where you join for a week at any of the tiers. Check out all the perks. Listen to Judge Christie, to True Crime Headlines, watch the last Q&As, binge whatever you want, and cancel before the trial is over and you won't get charged. Or if you stick around, you can either join monthly or you can join for an annual membership where you get 1 month free. And you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, including an upcoming mini-sode about the Afro Man defamation trial. We had a lot of requests to cover that, not just for the legal discussion aspect, but also for the testimonial discussion aspect of it, which is to say, not just for the legal discussion, but also for the testimony in it, because there's a lot of interesting questions, like what happens when someone on the stand calls someone a son of a bitch? Is that defamation? So check that out coming soon. We also have merch discounts as well as a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And while you're on our website, you can review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlist, and you'll find tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027. That's going to be February 8th through 12th. Next February, it's coming up on us so soon. I've started to choose pieces, think this is going to be, it's going to be my cruise wear. And also think about all the people we're going to see. We cannot wait to see Henry and Ed from Last Podcast Side Stories, the folks from Scared to Death, True Crime Campfire, A Paranormal Chicks, Unexplained, Case File, True Crime Garage, and so many other friends all joining us and you aboard a wonderful, delightful cruise ship that's humongous and has neighborhoods on it from what I understand. So join me for a trip through the bowels of the cruise ship as well as live performances, Q&A panels, and more. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and use our code to get $100 off as well as a private meet and greet with us. But act fast, because the last we checked, it was 90% sold, and then it was like 99% sold. I think there's a handful of cabins left. So grab yours before it sells out, and we will see you on the high seas. You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you've done, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift, but it's also perfect when you're not trying to leave the house because it's too hot or too crowded or too whatever outside. You can order it right from your computer at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Follow Christy online at Christy and Wallace on Instagram and at Christy or GTFO on TikTok. You can follow me everywhere at Heather versus the World. As always, the devil rules the airwaves. Keep it creepy.